Good morning, good evening. Thank you for joining me. It's Saturday, July 4th, 2014. I'm Debbie Quain, and you're listening to episode 370 of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Thank you again for joining me. I hope you can hear me. Wow, it is beautiful. It's not unbelievably hot. I'm so happy. I am so, so happy. If this is your first time, a very special welcome. I try to host this show on the first Saturday of each month. It doesn't always work out that way, but this month it did. If you're into weddings, thinking about being a wedding planner, then that's what Confetti is about. So on the first Saturday of each month, currently that's the schedule, I host a show in the hopes that I can answer some questions for you and that you can share your comments and feedback via the live chat room, which is at confettilive.com. Some of you are joining on the telephones. Welcome. Good morning. I really appreciate that you're here. It's always good to have all of the intelligence in the room. And for those of you in the live chat room, welcome. Good morning. Good afternoon, depending on where you are. If you would be kind enough to post where you're located, I know you've done it before, but it just sort of gives us all a picture of where everyone's located. So just your city and state, or if you're not in the good old US of A, just your country would be great. It's always an eye-opener to see where folks are located. So as I said, I try to air the show on the first Saturday of each month. If you'd like to be a part of the live chat show, if you'd like to be a part of the live event, the best way to keep tabs on that is to sign up to be on the weddingsforliving.com email list. So weddingsforliving.com is the main site, and Confetti is a segment of that. So if you go to weddingsforliving.com, there's a sign up form, you know, to get the free audio class. And if you sign up for that, that you'll receive the audio class, which is about 25 minutes long or so, which is entitled 7 Truths Every Wedding Planner Should Know. So you'll get the audio class within minutes, but you'll also be on the email list. So if you're on the email list, then you'll get notifications when the show goes live. But actually, you know, most people get the information from the show during the recording. So to get the recording, you can, you're also on the email. Well, to tell the truth, you'll get the notification of the live event, but in a few days after the event, then it's posted on weddingsforliving.com. But if you just want to automatically know when the replay of the show is posted, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. So if you head over to confettitalkshow.com/iTunes, confettitalkshow.com/iTunes, then you'll see the feed of, I think it's the last 20 or 30 shows there. So as soon as the replay is posted, you'll automatically get the update in your feed on iTunes. So confettitalkshow.com/iTunes. Okay, so I'm taking a peek at the chat, and some folks are saying that, okay, so the audio, and I'm saying it now, but maybe I should type that in the chat room. I'll do the next time. Today I'm broadcasting live via the Mixlr app, and you do need to press the play button for it to begin. But it looks like the folks in the chat room are helping her out. Thank you so much. So we've got Tanisha in Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning. Larissa is in New York. Good morning, Larissa. Tracy in North Carolina. She says that on her login. Smart, smart girl. Helga, I think, is on the West Coast, if I'm not mistaken. And Courtney, good to see you. Courtney, can't remember where Courtney's located, but Courtney's here. And some folks remember. It's tough to remember because some things come up and I change it up, which really isn't good for you. It just throws off your schedule. You're like, you know, to hell with Debbie. She can't figure out what she's doing. But it's not that summertime. You know, I'm thinking, too, that summer may be just time to put the live broadcast on hiatus and resume in the fall because there's so much going on in the summertime. So, yeah, please subscribe to the show. Just getting back to that. Oh, Courtney's in Houston. Good morning. Okay, Central Time. Good to see you. So, you know, to keep up with the live shows, if you're on the email list, I will send the email out to let you know the show's about to go live. iTunes is a good way to know when it's posted. The thing is, I get concerned that I have to send an email each time to tell you that something's going on. Okay, replays posted, or live show's going, you know, live show's about to go live, or you know, I just put a weekly wrap up on there, but that's the only way I can remind you. So please know that the information that I send to you, I'm thinking, okay, I think this is going to help her, or I think this is going to help him. So I'm going to send an email, and not each email is going to be for you. You know, the content may not be what you want. So, you know, if that's the case, then delete it. Absolutely, you should. You also have the option to unsubscribe at any time. But please know, my goal is not to bombard you with information. And actually, if I sent you an email each time that I came across information that I thought you would receive, you'd probably get 3 or 4 emails each week. And I know we're all overwhelmed with our schedules and with information. So to do that, I think it's a bit much. So please know that anything I send to you is coming from a good place. Again, it may not always be for you. But maybe the next thing might be, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I wanted to know. So just know that. Okay. Atlanta. Clarissa is in Atlanta. Clarissa Shop Taste Dance. Yes. Oh, and Helga's in Berkeley, California, which is the San Fran. You know, someone said San Fran the other... No. Someone said Francisco. They didn't say the San part. And someone said people down, they don't like it when you say that. I don't know. So, okay. So if you're passionate about planning weddings, which is why I'm guessing you're here for others, then, you know, confetti is a good place for you to be, to ask questions, and feel free to do that today, kind of doing a free for all. And it's for those of you not here in the United States, it's the July 4th weekend, which is our Independence Day holiday. So, I was a little apprehensive about scheduling today because I didn't know who's going to show up. But, you know, we're here. And again, it's not always about the live show. The replay, hopefully, is still, you know, informational for you. So Weddings for a Living, again, is the home for confetti. But also you can find some other articles there. I don't call Weddings for a Living a blog. The information I usually post there, I try to make it as comprehensive as possible. So the posts are a little longer. I call those articles, but, you know, blog. Website, but that's where the information is located. So if you're passionate about weddings and need information, you know, check that out from time to time. I don't know, maybe I will just get into the habit of just letting you know whenever there's a new article up there that might be helpful to you. Again, I just don't like to overwhelm you with information. Okay. I don't know if you, for those of you that arrived earlier, I was playing, I think I was playing Kenny Lattimore for you. A wedding I did recently, which was relatively small. I'm becoming fascinated with these smaller, you know, intimate weddings that are planned pretty quickly. You know, I love the idea. I think it's me and my attention span, or maybe it's my tolerance level. So planning these weddings that happen very quickly, quickly in our industry would mean anything under a few months. So 90 days or less, you know, that's what I'm loving those weddings. So in doing so, when you say 90 days or less, most people are still coming up to me and saying, okay, we want to get married like in 2 weeks. And that is the most, it works well for me because I'm forced to be very creative. It forces the couple to be a lot more flexible and also means they're usually not spending as much money. So the music that I was, God, you see how long I took to get to my point? Sorry. So Kenny Lattimore's song For You is what this couple came down to the aisle with. And really the way it was set up is that they did it in their backyard and they have a huge deck. So the deck was set up for the wedding ceremony and the groom came in, he walked in on his own and what did he walk into? It wasn't this song, but when the bride came in, she walked solo and you could see her coming from around the house and then she walked around and came up the around the back of the garden and came up onto the deck and I was already in tears by, you know, after the first few lines of the song, but it was very touching. And every part of the wedding that they set the music to wasn't traditional wedding music. It was their favorite songs. That's how they scripted the music for the wedding. And, you know, I'm going to play the beginning of that song if you don't know what I'm talking about. I know you do. It's just an excuse for me to play it, really. And the beginning of the song, which goes like this. Okay, I hear it. I'm already getting all, oh, and that's how it was. I couldn't stop crying. It was just, and watching her come up, and she wore a white suit, jacket and pants, and she had the little fascinator, which is the little hat with a veil, the little thing. Wasn't really much of a hat, just it was just beautiful, and I said, oh my gosh, Deb. to myself, as I usually do, this is it right here. These are the kind of weddings, because it had so much meaning to the family. And you may have heard me say, you know, about family members bringing food. Well, everybody brought food to this wedding, but it was a different thing. It was very informal, and there was so much love. You know, it was a bunch of women fussing in the kitchen. Don't the women always want to fuss in the kitchen? But it just brought everyone together. And, you know, truth be told, I'll say that I'm not saying the clients' names. The family really, this happened, the groom's family member at home, and the groom's family didn't really know the bride very well. It was a short engagement. Everyone wasn't really sold on the bride, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, that's how it was. But this wedding brought everyone together. I mean, because everyone was involved, everybody had a role. So, you know me, being the bossy boots that I am, they're just trying to manage everyone. And sometimes people don't want to be managed. But my whole point, I'm sorry, my long-winded way, is that this, because of the short turnaround, the quick turnaround, it just forced everybody just to be, they had to come together. There was no, and anybody that was being against it or fussing just stood out like a sore thumb. And it was really, really great. I, you know, officiated the ceremony, and I also was MC. I tell you, real bossy boots at the reception, which was in the front of the house. We kind of moved everything in for, we had the cake set up. Look, somebody made a cake, and then we went to the grocery store to get a cake, and it was just, it wasn't a traditional cake. It was sort of like, what do you call it? But it had a sort of cream finish, and we just picked it up at the grocery store because the person that said they were going to do the cake didn't really come through. It didn't look the way the bride wanted it to look. And it was just beautiful. I don't want to ramble on, but just to let you know that there's so many ways to do this wedding planning thing. And you can, if you read the bridal magazines and or let the media tell you how a wedding is supposed to be, that may not fit with what you want or what your clients want, which is the more important thing. But you may have to be the person that tells them, we can do this. We can do this. Because, you know, when I remember when we were setting up the music for this, they were thinking, okay, so should we do Here Comes the Bride? Should we do this? And I'm like, no, we're doing this at home. What music do you like? What would you like to hear? The groom song was actually it was a reggae song by Egyptian. He's not even into reggae like that. I've forgotten the song now. But I mean, it was just those things that sort of brought people together. The groom's mom had a song that she liked. They used that song to stick the cake. And that was announced. We're about to play this song, which is Nigel's mom's favorite. We're going to, you know, use this to, this is the song for cutting the cake. And it was just, you have to help sort of steer the ship for your clients, to help them understand that this wedding can be anything they choose it to be. A lot of times you'll hear your clients say, I want this wedding to be unique. But then really what you'll notice is they're trying to fall in with what's done. And a lot of times if they have a strong influence from bridal party members or family members, have you noticed, if you've ever been with a bride who's doing bride shopping, especially the younger ones, I've noticed, she will find some dresses that she likes, and she'll come out and wait for everyone to just, you know, to get the reaction. And if a couple of her friends sort of even just wrinkle their nose slightly, even though she, the bride, may be in love with that dress, it's out. It's gone. She doesn't want that. The dress that she loves. But if she gets the reaction, I don't know, as much as she may love that item, it's no longer on her list. So sometimes you have to play, you know, sometimes devil's advocate and say, you know, if this is what you want, you know, let's do what you want. And with a short wedding, a lot of times it's about what they want, because there isn't enough time to include, you know, the whole jury, which is family, friends, and da 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 da. So, okay, so enough of my rant. You know, the turnaround weddings, the very quick turnaround weddings are real, I like, but that forces me to get out there and know what's going on. So if you want a quick, if you want to get a quick injection into your wedding planning business, and you've been putting this off, you know what I mean? Advertise as, you know, someone who's doing very quick weddings. Usually, but not always, usually those types of clients, aren't trying to spend an arm and a leg, but it's attractive to clients who are planning an encore wedding, meaning either one or both of them have been married before, or someone who's looking or didn't realize there was an alternative to just going down to the courthouse to get married. Because if you've ever visited the courthouse for a wedding, It's not the most romantic setup. I mean, it serves its purpose, but you can sort of be that in between service. And when you do that, you are now forced to go out to see what the options are, because you don't have time to research things when they call you. You have to be ready to go. That's going to force you to go out there. You want to make friends with a good photographer. Good is a term that, you know, you've got to decide what that is, but someone who can take the pictures and get them done pretty quickly. With the age of smartphones, you've got a lot of guests and people taking photos, but they still, you want to encourage your clients to get some professional photos taken. And you may have two or three photographers that you rely on. So, because remember, it's got to be quick, right? So when someone says we're getting married, you call and say, I'm planning a wedding at the end of next month. Are you available on this date? And, you know, a lot of times these weddings may not be on a Saturday afternoon if that's not what you want. You can encourage clients, well, if we can do this on a Friday evening or even a Thursday evening, we're going to save some money. And you can set up your pricing that way, that the planning is cheaper if they decide to go with a weeknight wedding as opposed to a weekend wedding, you know. So just... Again, I'm rambling, but I just want you to understand that you do get to decide, and you can just try it out. If you've heard of the term a pop-up shop, where someone sets up business for, it has an end time. So usually it's like a vacant space and someone decides to set up their business there. It might be like an art gallery, or it might actually be a place that's selling products, different services. But they say they decided that they're going to be, there's a time when they move in and there's going to be an end time. It may be 6 months, it may be 12 months. You can do the same sort of thing. You can decide, I'm going to set up this pop-up service for my wedding business. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to set it up and I'm going to try this for 12 months. And the way you can describe it that way, Weddings by Debbie, announces its pop-up shop for the wedding season. And, you know, I thought about this when I was writing the notes about, you know, how I mentioned at the beginning of the show that the summertime, it's difficult and I may put the show on hiatus. You may decide that you're only doing these types of weddings between the months of March through or April through September, and the rest of the year you're not doing that. You're doing something else. If you have spent some time promoting you, the brand, the company, whether it's within a blog or a podcast or a YouTube channel, and people are sort of excited by what you're doing, you can then say, okay, well, we plan weddings, but between April and September, meaning those are the months of the weddings that we work on. So if you're doing something like the pop-up, you could say, you know, for the months of March and the months that I just mentioned, we're going to be doing these quick turnaround weddings. So, or whatever it is, but you get to decide. And then that way you're not committed to doing something from now until, as the business evolves and changes, and it will change. It will change. The notes and plans that I made for my business have just they change all the time, but you just have to decide to commit, to be focused. I'm going to try this and see how this goes. What I do a lot of times, if something's going to take longer than a month to pull together, if it's going to take more than 30 days, it's usually not what I want to do right about now. That's my benchmark right there. And if it's going to cost me more than $600 to do this pop-up thing, to get it going, to get it moving, maybe that might be the benchmark, or it might be $1,000, depending on what it is. And then the other benchmark for me is, how quickly can I get a customer? Because if this is in demand the way I think it is, if I've done my homework, it shouldn't be very difficult to get a client. And if it is very, if you're not getting a client, you're setting that benchmark, okay, I'm giving myself 45 days to at least get some serious interest here. And if that's not happening, you know, maybe I've got to sort of move on. But you set your benchmark, you decide. But when you do this ahead of time, then you have something to aspire to. And then you can say, okay, I've spent enough. I don't want to spend any more on this. I'm moving on. You're still within the industry, but you're testing the waters. That means, you know, you may not want to print business cards, but to print business cards for $10, it might, you know, that's worth it. To me, it is. If you're able to get a website pulled together, and if you're using WordPress and you're familiar with that and you can get that pulled together, I would do that. I would buy a domain name and pull a site together. But it depends. If you don't have those capabilities, it may not be worth your time and energy to do that. So you see how you can just sort of do things you can decide how you want to do things. It's totally up to you. There's a company in DC called Pop Up Weddings. I think their website is popwed.co. And what they do is they do these pop-up weddings, but what they do, it's a little different. So I think they charge, I want to say $1,500. Not bad, right? They're not doing day of, they're not doing any coordinating, but what they do is they have a photographer and someone who's a guy and gal team. So she is the photographer, the guy is the officiant, and what they do is they decide ahead of time which date. Okay, so different dates, they're at different venues, and what they do is they pull together the ceremony, but it's very quick. But they're not at the traditional places. So, okay, in DC, they're not like at the monument, or they're not at the traditional spots where people get married. So they look for places that have great visual appeal so that when these photos are taken, it's kind of like, oh, wow, real cool. So that's what they do. And they charge, I believe, a $500 deposit. So that to secure the person, just the person, the couple that wants to get married, and then they determine the time, and then the folks go, the couple shows up at this place. But the thing is, what they do, it's a little risque, because some places they don't really have the approval to perform the ceremony. So what they do is they encourage their clients to bring just a few guests, maybe four or five people. So it's like they're encouraging elopement. They're encouraging people to elope in their home city, which would be DC or wherever, if they're not in DC, to come to DC and elope. So if they're in a place and they have too many people in the wedding party, that may attract the attention of the people on the grounds, or if it's security, and then they'll ask them to move along. You know what I mean? So they're doing this, and because it's so novel, they've attracted a lot of attention. Because they perform a lot of same-sex weddings, which is legal here in DC, they attracted the attention of the media. So, could you imagine, just like that? And I mean, I'm saying just like that. There was some hard work involved, but it's very attractive because it's a niche. It's something different that stands out. Does that service appeal to everybody out there? No. I mean, many of us could never imagine getting married and not having a whole, you know, trail load of our guests, friends and family there, and don't want to get married with just four or five people. But for others, that's just absolutely perfect. And they're willing to do that. So I think the way that they describe it is that we plan, photograph and officiate, and, you know, they'll probably figure out some pieces about what the clients want. But that's what they've made it work for them. And you then have to conform to see what date they're going to be at certain locations. So I'm guessing they're at a certain location at XYZ Park. And then, you know, maybe they do a wedding at 2 p.m. Maybe there's another wedding at 4 p.m. or something like that. And then they've already scouted out some really great places nearby to take photos. And they take the pictures and send them back to the client. So for $1,500, this client, this couple is getting married in a very different and unique way. Again, it doesn't work for everyone, but for those that it appeals to, they're probably there's no shortage of them doing business. So do you see how you can sit down and think, maybe I could do that? I mean, maybe I could do the pop-up wedding, but maybe not on that, you know, not in the way that they're doing it, where they don't really get permission. Maybe I think of four or five places. I'm sure that's the low end. You can probably come up with 10 places in your city or area that would make a great spot for a small wedding of maybe 20 or less. And you can determine that this venue A is great if you've got 50 or less people. This place will hold up to 75. And then you go to the venues, you go to these locations and let them know you're a wedding planner and you're trying to get people to you're expanding their business, especially if it's a private business, and you want to bring people there. And you can determine that on this date of the next month, I'm going to be at this location to, you know, help your wedding. That narrows it down right there. You don't even have to worry about the clients picking the date, because if they're getting married in a hurry, they probably want the flexibility. They need to be flexible. So you can say, this is a good wedding date. This is a date that I'm going to be there. And just like that, a date has been determined for them. And you just now have to coordinate food, which should be relatively easy for such a small number. If you're in, you know, cahoots with a florist, which you've got to be if you're a wedding planner, you come up with a simple bouquet for the bride and maybe boutonniere, or maybe you're capable of doing that. And the photographer, you have somehow now pulled a package together. Music, you can maybe have DJs create playlists that you build into the package. You see what I mean? It's kind of, you get to decide, but I bet if you sit down there and brainstorm for a moment and then put it into action, you'll discover some really amazing things. The thing is, you got to think about it, put a plan of some sort, but it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Just thinking some of the things that we just talked about here, right? And make notations about what you want to do. But narrow it. Don't make it so crazy. When I keep using the word crazy, stop it, Debbie. You don't want to make it so that it's, how do I want to say it? You don't want to give too many options. You just want to give someone maybe two or three options. And if they're getting married quickly, maybe not even that. Maybe two options. Let's do A or B. And then let them go with one. And then you let them know what's included. They may try to pick it apart. You may decide that, no, this is what it is. You can pick it apart if you want to. The price isn't going to change. You get to decide, you know? So that's my input. But it can be anything you want it to be. All I'm saying is that you don't have to conform to what the mainstream wedding industry is saying a wedding should be. A wedding doesn't have to have 12 months involved of planning with five bridesmaids and five matching groomsmen, and the bride has to wear a long white dress, and that there has to be a gentleman to walk her down the aisle, and that there needs to be a head table at the wedding reception, and that there has to be a guard. It doesn't have to be any of those things. It's amazing. And if you pay attention to what's going on in other industries, usually we can find a way to apply it to our business. But something to think about. And let me know what you come up with. By being different, you're going to stand out from the other wedding planners. There are going to be people are going to say, no, that a wedding, like, you know, that's weird. Why would you do that? Or what about the flower girl? And what about, no. Some folks just want to get married quickly for whatever reason. Maybe one of your clients needs to be deployed and there needs to be a wedding quickly. The bride is pregnant and she wants to make sure that they're married before this child is born. There are all kinds of reasons. Or maybe someone says, I've met this person, I don't know why we need to wait. I mean, I met a guy once that said to me, you know, if I find the right person, I believe it's the right person, I don't need to wait a year or two to make sure that that's right. I just want to marry that person right away. Ooh, I thought. But, I mean, that's his way of thinking, and that might make perfect sense. So, anyway, there are some thoughts for you. If you're listening on Mixlr, and I can see a few people are, the chat room in Mixlr is not being monitored. I'm sorry, I should have said that before. So if you head over to confettilive.com, that's where the main chat room is, and that's where it's all buzzing. Okay. I'm looking to see. Oh, you guys are just rocking and rolling. So you check out popwed.co. Not now, right? Don't go now. Not right now. When we finish, go. And see. It's just so different, but it's a breath of fresh air. I love it. And listen, when you see someone in your neck of the woods doing something that you plan to do, I know, because I can read your mind. I know your initial reaction is, oh, someone's already doing it, and you stop, or you're disheartened for a moment. No, doesn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. If you've ever looked at a strip where there's a fast food, you'll see a McDonald's, and usually there's a Burger King not too far away. Depending on where you are, there may be a Wendy's right around the corner too. They all kind of stick around the same area. Why do you think that is? People want variety. People want choices. So because it's working for this, don't think that because someone's already has the niche that you has, that you can't do the same thing, maybe with a slightly different angle. People buy into you. When you have a first meeting with the client, they're not clients. When they're prospects, like when they call or email and say, how much do you charge? And then, you know, we go through the details of the day of the wedding, the date that they have planned for the wedding, number of guests, when, how soon, and all the rest of that. And then we meet. It's really like a first date. They're checking me out. I'm checking them out to see if there's a match. You do realize, right, as a wedding planner, that each client that comes your way, you don't have to fight for. You understand that, right? Not each client, potential client, is for you. They're checking you because I see new planners thinking that, okay, I want to work with this client because I think they're so eager to have book business. Not everyone is for you. I know that's hard to understand. So when you get that funny little feeling inside or something just isn't sitting well with you, realize, I mean, you don't sabotage the meeting at that point, but realize it may not be for you. They are probably checking out other planners. So, you know, it's okay for you to make the decision too, that maybe this isn't the right couple. But that first meet and greet is for you to check one another out and see what, you know, if it's a good fit. And it may not be, but you really do get to decide if you want to move forward with the plan, you know, with moving forward with this potential couple for a wedding. So make sure you do your due diligence and when you're meeting with someone that there's a good fit. But yeah, they have to buy into you. And sometimes they may not really like your prices. Like, let's say they check someone out for the same service and that other person is charging $800 and you're charging $1,400. Already there's a disconnect, but when they buy into you, it's all those other things go out the window. It's not always about price. And a lot of us wedding planners think it's about price. It's not. It's not always about price. People have to believe that they are dealing with someone who knows what they're doing. I heard something the other day, and this is what the individual said. When it comes to doing business, if you show up sober, on time, in uniform or dressed correctly and with a checklist or knowing what you're doing, you can probably charge 4 or 5 times more than your competitor for the exact same service. The exact same service. Sober, show up sober, on time, in uniform, and it doesn't necessarily mean uniform, it just means dressed correctly, dressed appropriately. With a checklist, meaning you've got a system that they know that you can clearly, you're not just sort of flying by the seat of your pants, that you can charge 4 or 5 times more than your competitor for providing exactly the same service. Think about it. If you're planning a wedding and someone comes to meet you, that you're supposed to be meeting the wedding planner at 4 p.m. It's 4:15 when she or he shows up. He's a nice enough person, friendly enough person. It's kind of asking you questions, but, you know, kind of shuffling things around, you know, papers around, and really doesn't have a clear vision of what's going on. And I mean, not meaning incompetent, but just a nice enough person. And then the next meeting you have, you schedule tomorrow with a planner for 4 p.m. And when you get to the location, she or he's, I'm going to say she, most of us women here, she's there already, right? And she's maybe got a shirt that has her company logo on. Maybe it's a polo shirt or just, you know, anything with a logo on. And that's not necessarily, but that's the way it is. She just looks like someone who's on her A game. And, you know, she offers, you know, you guys sit down. And then she has a checklist. She says, you know, I'm so happy to meet with you. I have a few questions I want to ask. I've got this list here and I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Please don't think I'm rude. I just want to make sure I get a full picture of what it is you want. But, you know, feel free to ask me whatever you need to. And then after she's asked the questions, and the questions are so that she can generate these, you know, open-ended response. She's asking open-ended questions so she can get the full picture of what's going on with your wedding. And then she says at the end, well, okay, based on what you said, we've got several packages. I've got them printed right here, just a synopsis. But this is the process. Once I meet with you and you sign the contract, we're going to have our first meeting, which will probably last a couple of hours, where I'm going to ask you, get all the details. We'll exchange information, sort of like passing the baton. And then I'm going to start meeting with vendors, going through my list of vendors, making sure that there's a good match. And I've already got some good folks in mind for you. And then once we do that, I'm going to schedule all of your vendor appointments. And I'm going to make sure that I sort of prep you, give you the cliff notes, as it were, before each client vendor meeting. So you'll know what to ask if I'm not accompanying you. But I can go with you if you choose to. We can arrange to do that. And then we'll, right before the wedding, we'll have another meeting where we'll just go over the details. You'll help me decide what's important for your timeline so I can make sure that I make sure all those things are detailed. And do you see what I mean? This person now has got it all thought out. There's clearly a plan. There's a system in place. Same type of service, but she's now on an organized level and she just sort of looks the part. Would you feel more comfortable now spending some more money to get that wedding planner on your side? I know I certainly would. Maybe I'm biased because I'm the second planner. But do you see how different that approach is as opposed to someone coming to a meeting and then taking to meeting, do a meet and greet, and then and then emailing me at Weddings for a Living and saying, I had a great meeting with this couple and I'm not quite sure how to charge. That happens a lot. Do you see the difference? So if you can just take some time to sit down and plan things out, even the tough stuff, even the stuff that you really don't want to do, like the pricing, you got to do it. And then say, this is going to be my system. Because when you know what to do next, you're not so worried about those things. Then you can focus on your potential clients. You understand? So planning a wedding, your own wedding or your friend's wedding or your whomever's wedding, and then saying, I want to go into business is not unusual. But you have to take a step back and say, okay, weddings, but business. Any business you start needs some sort of plan. Now you can sort of jump, you know, fly by the seat of your pants and sort of give it a go, test the waters a little bit, kind of like that pop-up thing I was mentioning, but you still need a system. You still have to have those plans in place. You can't worry about a website and business cards and those things and then say, I have potential clients. I don't know what I should charge them. No, 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 my love. It can't be that way. So you have to decide, okay, I want to be taken seriously. And I want to get the money that I'm charging, because I said this a few shows ago that I don't think there's a problem with people wanting to pay. They just have to see the value. People pay lots of money for planners and things like that, but they got to see the value. And if you're charging $2,000, but you're bringing a game that's only worth, that looks like it's only worth about $300, disconnect. And I think that's happening for a lot of us, you know? Okay. All right. Let me look at some of these comments. Just going off on a tangent here. Courtney says, how can you say you're a planner when you haven't planned your business operations? Right, Courtney? Isn't that something? So, you know, unfortunately for us in this industry, especially when we're new, there aren't very many businesses that will take on, that have wedding planners as employees. Although if you're working in a hotel or a hospitality industry, yeah, you know, cruise ships, bridal salons, but it's not really planning the wedding, but you're still involved. Those sorts of positions are involved in the planning process, but there aren't that many positions out there where you can go in and, you know, get a job like working at a franchise as, you know, as an employee or something where there are systems in place. So we have to sort of create our own. So however you choose to do that, whether you do that on your own or you pay for a resource to get some sort of help to do that, you got to do something. You can't do this thing backwards. And a lot of us are doing this thing backwards, you know, and this is why I think wedding planners get a bad rap. This is why when you talk to other vendors and say you're a wedding planner, you don't get a very enthusiastic response sometimes, because they know that we come in there and we're very excited and then we fizzle right out. It happens a lot. So you've got to make the decision. You know, how serious, what do I want to, am I doing this maybe, you know, once or twice a month, or do I really want to be booked for the weddings every weekend? You know, I'm happy, me, Debbie, to do 5 or 6 weddings for the year. That's it. I'm happy with that and give it my all for those 5 or 6 weddings. You get to decide, but you have to come up with a system that's going to work. You have to know what your minimum amount is and what your fee is. I wanted to give you a pointer though, with the pricing thing, when people are calling you and I know many of us say the weddings that I plan are typically in this budget. And I've said that before, you know, to determine what your, to give people an idea of what to expect. How much do you charge for a wedding? So, you know, some of us may say, well, you know, weddings with a budget of at least $25,000. Some of your clients, potential clients may not understand that right away. That may not click to them because, to be fair, a lot of people don't know how much a wedding costs, right? We hear about the statistics, but we don't know how much a wedding costs. So something that you might want to say when someone contacts you about the fee for your wedding, you can say something like, the weddings that I typically plan range in the price of $100 to $200 per guest. If you do it that way, then you're sort of, you're saying, without saying it, these are the level of weddings that I plan. So that will then mean that if someone's planning a smaller wedding, but they want a higher end wedding, Because remember, if we do it by budget, someone can have $10,000 for a wedding, which doesn't sound like a lot. But if they've only got 20 people coming, that's a lot of money, right? That's a pretty decent wedding. That's a higher end wedding based on the price per guest. So if you say it that way to when people are calling as a qualifier to give them an idea, you can say the weddings that I plan, the budget assigned is usually around $100 to $200 per guest. That says it right there. Right there. So if someone is looking, you know, to spend around $60 to $70 per guest, then you may not be the wedding planner for them. And if it's lower, then you say that. You know, the weddings that I plan, typically my clients are spending anywhere between $50 to $100 per guest. That kind of sets you in line with, you know, the kind of caterers. So do you see what I mean? So you can try that also. The thing is, you make sure that you share that information with whomever's answering your phone or responding to inquiries about your business. And that's another part of your systems. Once you figure it out, then you've got to document it. And document is not as scary as it sounds. It's really just you putting it in writing so somebody else can fill in and understand and say what it is that you do. If you're doing a wedding, a day of coordination, or you're doing full service and you're just on the day, guests will approach you or approach the couple if they see you guys are just in sync, that you guys, you know, you and your team know what you're doing. And they may say, you know, you plan weddings? You do this. I love this wedding went off great. So can I ask how much do you charge? You say, well, you know, the weddings that we plan or the weddings for this company are usually in the $75 to $200 per guest range. And that explains, I think, in some instances, a little more clearly as to the kind of wedding that you plan. And then you align yourself with vendors that fit in that sort of same range. It's easier to do that, right, than just saying budget. You can, if you do per guest, how much the guests are spending per head, how much your clients are spending per head, it's easier for someone to determine, okay, she's the planner that I want, or maybe not, or ooh, I think we need to work with her. Yeah? So that's something to think about. Let's see what's going on here. I'm just reading the notes in the chat. And again, if you're on Mixlr, just come over to confettilive.com. Courtney says, people want to be a planner but not invest the time or money or learn how to do it right. Yes, that happens a lot. It really does. Clarissa said, I had a bride recently contact me for a October 2014 wedding. She has no idea what her budget is. Nice tip. I'll tell the bride price per guest. Yeah, that can kind of narrow it down. That might make more sense for that person. Yeah, because a lot of our vendors do that. Caterers charge by the guest. Cakes are charged by the slice, you know, so it may help. Courtney says, people think you can get into this industry with no investment, but this is wrong. You have to invest something, time or money to learn. Yeah, it's because the wedding is just so, a wedding is such a beautiful thing. And for many people, usually young girls, it's something they know what they believe, they know what they want, and they kind of gravitate towards that. But it's still a business. It's still a business. So what happens is you get a lot of people who just love weddings and want to plan weddings. And they really suck at the business part. A lot of us like that. We do. So there's a bit of a disconnect. So, you know, if you are interested in running your wedding business, and this wasn't a sales pitch, but it just ties in so nicely. Sorry. I've created a resource and I'm still trying to perfect that. It's called Wedding Business Guide. The whole point of that resource that I created was this scenario right here, because I could see folks were doing the wedding thing. And I'm sad to say a lot of people take wedding planner certification courses, but don't come out of that wedding planner certification course ready to run a business. I'm even going to go as far as to say many people come out of wedding planner certification courses and still really don't know how to plan a wedding because it's all sort of bits and pieces. And what I noticed is that the bits and pieces don't connect. So you have some of the knowledge, but how do you now apply that to make it work? You know? So Wedding Business Guide was all about starting a day of coordination company. But me, being the person that wants to give you so much information, I think in some instances it might have been a little overwhelming. And I'm just trying to be completely honest, because there are a couple of modules in there. There's one module that tells you how to take over a wedding where someone has done some of the planning, most of the planning, and you're kind of coming in at the tail end. That was the first part. And then the second part is all about how to get the business off the ground, which is sort of like the the business licenses, insurance and stuff like that, and getting that done in 7 weeks. And then the next part was just the forms that you need. But I realized just from hearing from new folks, okay, so where do I start? So what I'm working on now, Wedding Business Guide members, is just a document, a PDF that says, start here, then do this. Okay, then do this, and then do this, and then do that. So that's what I'm trying to do with Wedding Business Guide. So it may not be for you. And I know there are a few people here today in the chat room that are part of Wedding Business Guide, and they'll tell you the real deal, what works, what doesn't, and so forth. But that's what I'm trying to accomplish, is just trying to pull all that together, because I see people spending close to $1,000 for these certification courses and different products out there. And I see a lot of us jumping onto the marketing process, how to get clients, how to develop social media to make it work to get clients. But if you don't have a foundation, which is the system, all of that stuff doesn't mean a damn thing. Because what are you marketing? You don't have a system. You have to know what the next step is. You have to know that, what am I going to say when someone calls and says, how much do I charge? What do I say? Or what paperwork, or what quiz, what should they complete, so I kind of have an idea of what they want. I was going through some notes of some things that I wrote, and there were different kind of clients, of course. Some brides, it's usually brides, they know exactly what they want with design and have no idea about budget. There are some that are just very analytical and understand budget and don't really care about design. They want you to do that. And there are some that have both of them, and those are the ideal clients, man. They know what they want, and they understand what the costs that are associated with it. But someone who wants a beautiful wedding but doesn't understand that what she just described to you is going to cost $200,000, and when you try to explain it to her, she doesn't want to hear it, disconnect. And you got to know how to deal with that person. So there's so much more that goes on with a business. With, you know, the wedding part becomes secondary. And the sad part is, I hate to say it that way, is that the marketing and stuff is going to be way more important than the wedding planning. You're not going to get the, I'm not trying to turn you off, but when you just do the business thing, it's more about marketing and very little to do with the actual planning, which is actually a good thing, because if you have a system, you don't have to worry so much if you know what to do next, because then you get to hand off that part, the stuff that takes up a lot of time, to someone else, to an assistant or event managers. And you just go out there and market and sell who you are. You're the person that's singing the praises of your wedding company, and you've got your own little team working in the background. Not a lot of wedding businesses are run that way, which is why a lot of them don't last. Horrible thought, right? But it's the truth. So, you know, maybe you do the wedding planning, you go through understanding what a wedding is and going through the process of understanding what happens at a wedding, and you decide, I'd like to just do this for a company and just shut off at the end of the day. So maybe you do want to work at a hotel, or maybe you do want to work at a country club, or maybe you do want to work for a cruise line. But then, you know, you've got some other things that you're going to have to do that aren't very weddingy, like the sales part, and you're going to have quotas, and, you know. So it's tough. Planning weddings is tough, but let's say, and going back to this thing, and I'm getting ready to wrap up soon, I'm going to let you go. When I was talking about the pop-up wedding thing, if you decide, let's say between March and September of each year, that's your wedding planning season, you're still doing stuff in the off months, but that's the time, if you're doing very quick turnaround weddings, then the planning time is sort of limited. You don't have to spend 12 months trying to pull a wedding together. Spending 3 months to pull a wedding together is very different. So if you do that between those months of the year, then the rest of the year, like October, November, December, January, February, maybe those are the times that you're holding classes. Maybe those are the times that you're training your wedding day event assistants. Is that the right term? Wedding? Yeah, your event assistants, your managers. Or maybe those are the times that you're ramping up on those events that you're hosting for area brides and stuff. Or maybe that's the time when you decide, I will go teach for the Wedding Planning Institute. Do you see how, if you come up with a plan and put some systems in place, because you really don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Thanks, Mom. You really don't want to do that. If you can have some diversity there, you've got other things to sort of bring up the rear when things slow down. And then for me, I like the variety because it keeps me going. I if you do something over and over and over and over and over again, you know, it becomes monotonous to you, but to each new client, it's brand spanking new, and you have to keep the energy level up. So each wedding and each client is, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, because you know, you have to feel that way. And sometimes it's tough. Some days you don't want to be pleasant. Some days you don't want to answer the phone. Sometimes you don't want to respond to the emails. That's the truth. So you've got to find some joy. And for me, the joy is variety. Larissa is asking suggestions in marketing pop-up weddings. Okay, some suggestions. Are you asking everyone? Yeah, okay, let's all jump into this. So the pop-up wedding is sort of like the last minute thing. I like the idea of the talking thing, because I'm a talker. I like the idea of doing the online talk show and using that as the bait. And then directing, you know, making each episode very specific. I like the idea of doing like the regular blog and different finds and sort of like blog posts, like, you know, this is a great location. This place has, you know, you can find short wedding dresses here, because remember, it's not a traditional wedding, really, usually, where you can say things like, you know, favorite song, wedding song to what's your favorite song to come down the aisle to and things like that. Definitely press releases are going to grab the attention. And focusing on the fact that you can plan a wedding in 6 weeks or less. Wow, that's really a neat topic right there. What are the ideas you have? Larissa, Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Saying radio stations, courthouse clerks. Yeah, very good. Community newspapers and community calendar sites. Yeah. I went to Elevation Burger for the first time a few weeks ago. You know, when I find something new, I kind of do it over and over and over and over again until I'm sick of it. But Elevation Burger, I went in there. The first time I went in there, last year, I didn't eat there because the woman at the counter, okay, TM, no, I'm telling you, the woman at the counter didn't have her hair tied back, and I didn't understand how you're prepping food and your hair's not tied back. Anywho, I went back a few months later, craving to, hair was tied back this time, and I had an Elevation Burger, and it was fantastic. So they, you know, this grass-fed beef and everything, it's not supposed to make you feel really lethargic after you eat, might be mind over matter, it was great. But, as my long-winded way, they had a community board there. And the community board, they set up, and it says, you know, they change it every 2 weeks or something, which is a really good idea. And there were a couple of different things, but I would imagine having either a postcard or something that says, you know, getting married, or you need to get married, or need to get hitched in a hurry, or need to, you know, get married in 6 weeks or less. We can help you with that. We'll plan. We'll take photos. We'll even find the location for you. I think that's a great, that's different. That's very different. So using something like that, and the community aspect makes sense because it's usually a local thing. But yeah, getting attention for your business would be really good. So social media, says the hypocrite, that would be really good to get people on board. And how exciting would that be to share with friends and family? If you know someone who's getting married, you know, just wants to get married in 8 weeks or less, I can help them. That stands out. People remember you for that. People will remember you for that. And I think that would be of interest. I can think I hate to be stereotypical, but I think they would appeal to a lot of guys. Not only guys, but I think it would appeal to a lot of guys that you could do a no hassle, no fuss wedding. All right, so enough of my rambling. Let's see what you guys have said. Courtney said, who is it, the person? Oh, Lisa. Hi, Lisa in Brisbane. Good to see you here. Popupwed.com.au. So that's a local one in Brisbane, Australia. Nice. Helga, who's Helga responding to? Depends on Helga's. You responded to Courtney. Okay, sorry, Helga. Just infringing on the. Helga and Courtney are doing their own thing. Okay. Yeah, okay, I was just reading through. Sorry, I keep saying, okay. I mean, because the chat just moves at lightning speed. Or maybe I'm just too old to catch up. Oh, the question was for me? Okay, whose question is directed at me? Can you put the question in again? I'm sorry, because there were so many. Depends on the corporate event. I didn't see, where's... Put the question in for me, sorry. And I'll read it again. Thank you, Helga, for pointing that out. I'm scrolling back up. Oh, do you see a difference of planning between weddings and corporate events? Is that the one? I mean, the systems are not a whole lot different, but I mean, they're different because of the expectation. Usually with a corporate event, there's a budget that has to be maintained. I know with a corporate event, usually oftentimes the person I'm talking to is not the decision maker. Sometimes it's been handed off to someone who's an assistant. Because usually if they have their special events person, they don't bring someone in from the outside. So there's a difference in that sense. And usually there has to be something measurable for a corporate event. What is success for them? Whereas a wedding is a celebration, celebration. English American accent thing mixed up. There's a difference there. And, you know, again, sometimes with a corporate thing, I found there are a whole bunch of decision makers, and it just takes so long to get a response, depending on if the person I'm working with has carte blanche to do whatever. But a lot of times they got to go back and check things out and think, you know, the creativity, unless it's a very forward thinking department or company, is squashed. It's sort of like, we need an event. This is what needs to happen. This is our budget. This is the amount of people, and make it work. And unfortunately, but not always, I found that corporate events, sometimes the payment doesn't come as quickly because, again, it's a whole bunch of people and it's a whole bunch of bureaucracy going on there. So, but the planning of the event, I mean, it really depends on what you're doing. Are you doing a holiday party? Is it an annual meeting? Is it something that's off-site? Is it in-house? So it varies. And it kind of takes a different person. It really takes a different person because, you know, how you correspond and how you respond, it's different. It really is. Just to give you a simple example, a lot of companies they restrict how employees can browse. So things that would be normal for you to do on your personal computer or device may not work at the company level, the corporate level, and depending on where you're sending them and asking them to do things. And of course, a lot of times the decisions are made during the daytime hours, not after hours. So it really depends. I'm kind of all over the place there. But again, you got to have a system in place. So that's my feedback. And anybody else has any feedback, any other comments, please provide them. Okay. So you want more, any ideas or resources for corporate events? I would figure that, you know, those are not so hard to find. I have a couple of meeting planning books that are here on my shelf. I'm looking at one now, if I can see that far. Meeting and event planning, which is actually very good. You can see the black spine. I'll have to go maybe provide the resource later. But, you know, a lot of corporate planners do kind of move over to weddings because it seems to be that when budgets or we're in a recession, the corporate events cut back. But for some reason, the weddings don't. They continue, maybe at a slightly reduced level. But it's a dream thing. It's an ultimate thing for some folks. So it doesn't really change a whole lot. Okay. All right. Well, I wasn't quite sure which direction we were going to head. And because of the holiday weekend, I wasn't really sure how things were going to turn out. But I'd have to say I really, really enjoyed what we got through today. I think we got through a lot of good information. But, check out the resource. For those in the chat room, I know you're going back and forth and sharing links and stuff. And I didn't mention this earlier, but I hope it's a given. You know, share your links with other people, your Facebook, your website, your Pinterest, your Instagram, however you want people to connect, follow, friend, hug, kiss, you know, share all of that. I mean, leave the chat room open for a few minutes beyond today's broadcast. So if you're based in the United States, by the way, you know, you can text the word confetti to 71441. 71441 is the number. Confetti is the message, and you'll get an automatic response and an automatic text. We're about to go live. Okay. I'm Debbie Quain. You've just listened to another episode of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show, and you can get the show notes for today at weddingsforliving.com/370. As always, love and success. Have a great weekend.
Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show.